If you turn to the book of James, where in the third chapter, specifically verses 13 through 18, this half-brother of Jesus, writing in the earliest document of the 27 books that comprise our New Testaments. This is the book of James. It's the earliest book of the New Testament. He is contrasting a wisdom that comes from below as over against the wisdom that comes from above. And I want you to notice the way he puts this in James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, when he poses a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, when you read these two adjectives, wise and understanding, or however they are translated in your Bible, the first adjective means someone who is skillful in a practical sense, someone who in action is governed by piety and integrity, someone who forms the best plan, uses the best means to execute that plan. So we're talking about excellence in its highest and fullest sense. That's the first adjective. Who is wise? Who is skillful in a practical sense? And then he uses this word. It is a second adjective. It means someone who is intelligent, someone who is experienced, someone who has the knowledge of expertise in a particular area. That's the word. So when I read these two adjectives, who is wise, and we could say experienced, such as having the knowledge of an expert among you. Then we read, let him show his works from a good conduct in meekness or gentleness of wisdom. But if you're having bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition in your heart, stop boasting and lying against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is, now notice your words, number one, it's earthly. This is James chapter 3 and verse 15. It is earthly. It has the wisdom of man. It's liable to error and misleading. It's earthly. Natural. It has the nature, the characteristics of the soul. The principle of the psuche, the animal life, which we have in common with animals. It is the sensual nature with all of its appetites and passions. We're talking corrupt desires and affections. So when you talk about earthly things, you're talking about the wisdom, human wisdom, liable to error and misleading. And then when you talk about natural, you're thinking about the sensual nature, all of the things that we battle within ourselves. That's the adjective. And then the third one is demonic. It resembles or proceeds from an evil spirit. It's demon-like. So when he describes this in James chapter 3, verse 15, he will say, this wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. Now follow it, verse 16. For where jealousy, and this is envy and contentious rivalry, for where jealousy and this is where you are courting some type of popular applause by trickery and deception. I'm desiring to put myself first. This is partisanship, factionist. This is a selfish ambition. That's what's driving me. So James says, where jealousy or contentious rivalry and selfish ambition, there is disorder, disturbance, and confusion, and every evil work. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and just notice the words, then peaceable, gentle, easily persuaded, full of mercies and good fruits, unwavering, unhypocritical. Now the fruit of righteousness is being sown in peace by the ones who are making peace. So according to James chapter 3 and verse 15, there is wisdom that comes from below. And he describes it by these adjectives. It's earthly, it's soulish, it's demonic, and it brings about all of this, as he describes it, jealousy and selfish ambition that bring about disorder and every evil work. But by way of contrast, according to verse 17, there is a wisdom that comes from above. And then he describes this wisdom first. It's pure. First, it's pure. Then, it's peaceable, gentle, easily persuaded, full of mercies and good fruits. It is unwavering. It's unhypocritical. And then he says, as he ends the chapter, now the fruit of righteousness is being sown in peace by the ones who are making peace. So there is a wisdom that comes from below, and there is a wisdom that comes from above. And he raises the question in verse 13, who is wise and expertise among you? And that individual is to demonstrate that by the way the individual lives. And by the way the individual lives demonstrates whether or not he is following this wisdom that comes from below or this wisdom that comes from above. And as I'm reading through the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we talked about briefly last week, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, I understand that a wise person is someone who embraces this wisdom that comes from above, divine revelation, whereas a fool is someone who embraces this wisdom that comes from below, human reason. So that the wise person is someone who is blessed, whereas a foolish person is someone who is cursed. Well, listen to the opening words of the wisdom psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorners, but his delight, that which he takes pleasure in, that which he's longing for, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate, defined as focused thinking that motivates. And he does it day and night. And then we're told, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But then you talk about the ungodly. And when you talk about the ungodly or the sinner or the scoffer, this is someone who repudiates the law. This is someone who refuses to acknowledge this law of the Lord. He turns away from it. and therefore he is cursed. And you read it in verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 1, so that you end Psalm 1 with verse 6, where you have the two contrasting ways. You have the way of the righteous, who is blessed, and you have the way of the ungodly, who is cursed. So there's a blessed way and there is a cursed way. As you read Psalm 1 and you read through the entire wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Now last week, I set forth, or at least I tried to set forth, an introduction to the book of Proverbs, which is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I would like to focus our attention once again upon this particular book that we know as Proverbs. Now, here is an analysis of the book, and you can see this overview of the book of Proverbs, and you have this outline as you think about this book, as it takes me from the title, the introduction and motto, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, to a father's praise of wisdom, which is chapter 1, verse 8, through the end of chapter 9. Then you move into the Proverbs proper, the Proverbs of Solomon, beginning in chapter 10, and then you read the rest of the contents of the book. But I want to go back to the opening, verses 1 through 7, and as we talked about last week, you have the title, turn back please to Proverbs chapter 1, you have the title in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And I talked about this whole concept of Proverbs, this brief, terse sentence of popular wisdom. And we talked about this whole concept of these Proverbs. So I have the title, and then you move into the purposes, and I talked about the five purposes of Proverbs as set forth in verse 2, 3, 4, and 6. And it is to give to me discipline so that I can obtain knowledge and wisdom and discernment so that it can offer guidance and direction in my life in this minefield that I'm trying to navigate myself. And that's what we read when we read these opening verses. Now let me just read it. Look at verse 2, Proverbs 1, that men may know wisdom and discipline to understand words of discernment, verse 3, to receive discipline in wise dealings, righteousness and justice and equity, then verse 4, to give to the simple prudence, to the youth knowledge and discipline, and then we read verse 6, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then we read verse 5. No one has ever arrived because verse 5, the wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and the man of understanding will inquire skill, direction in finding one's way in terms of this life. And then you have the motto of all wisdom literature, which is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. But by way of contrast, fools despise wisdom and discipline. So you have the two contrasting ways. The wise person as over against the fool. Now, if you talk about the wise person and the wise person fears, when I think of this fear of Yahweh, think of three words: attitude, action, aim. If I think of his attitude, I think of someone who has reverence. He stands in awe of God. That's his attitude. His action is one of obedience to what God has revealed in Scripture, and his aim is to bring glory and honor to him. So when I think of someone who fears Yahweh, I'm thinking of attitude, I'm thinking of how that attitude is fleshed out in action, And then the aim, the driving aim in the person's life is to bring glory to the one he represents. Now that is a wise person. But over against the wise person, you have a fool. And the fool despises, he belittles, he ridicules, he holds in contempt. This wisdom, which of course is found in the fear of Yahweh, and discipline. So when we talk about wisdom literature, like Proverbs, there's always a contrast between these two kinds of people. In the first place, there are those who humbly, and humility is a key word, those who humbly fear God and acquire this wisdom. As over against, number two, fools who pridefully, and that's a very important word, refuse to fear God and hold wisdom and discipline in utter contempt. So if we talk about someone who is wise, we're talking about someone who is humble. And when I talk about humble, I'm talking about someone who recognizes he has to live life in dependence upon God. As over against a fool, and a fool is someone who is prideful, pride's the key, and he is someone who believes he can live independently of God. So when I'm reading wisdom literature and I'm thinking of a wise person as over against the fool, you think of humility as over against pride, because that absolutely is emphasized in wisdom literature. Humility as over against pride. I humbly bow before him. I understand he's greater than me. And then a fool is someone who doesn't do that because he believes in terms of himself and he believes in terms of what he himself can do. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to come back to this whole book of Proverbs, and I want to describe a little bit more what Proverbs has to say about these fools. And Proverbs basically describes four different kinds of fools. And the way I would like to approach this is basically in three parts. First, I want to talk about the references or citations or the passages where I read of these fools in Proverbs. That's number one. Number two, I want to reflect, I want to understand the characteristics, I want to profile these fools in Proverbs. That's number two. And then number three, I want to talk about the response, or how do you converse with someone like this? What would be the propositions set forth in Proverbs when you come in contact with a fool like this that falls into one of these groups? So I'd like to talk about the references and a reflection and a response. I'd like to talk about the citations, the characteristics. How do you converse with someone like this? I'd like to talk about the passages, a profile, and a proposition. Now that's where I'm going. So let's take, in the first place, the references, the citations, the passages found in the book of Proverbs that describe these various fools. And I have it before you in this little handout, and everyone I suppose has this handout. Now this is taken from the Standard Hebrew Concordance. So in the Hebrew Concordance, I'm going through the four words that describe these four different kinds of fools, and I've highlighted all of the references in Proverbs under each one of these fools. Now, the first one, if you'll notice it here, this is the, in Hebrew it's Kesil, this is the Kesil fool. And I've transliterated it into English. The Kesil fool, and if I counted it right, 49 times you have this individual in Proverbs. So these are all of the references in Proverbs to a Kesil fool. Every reference in Proverbs to this particular individual, and he's mentioned 49 times, if I counted it correctly. All right, that's number one. Now look at your next page. This is the, and you see it here, this is the aveil or the awil fool. The reason why is that particular Hebrew letter can either be a V or a W in English. So you can say awil or aveil. I've highlighted all the references in Proverbs, and if I counted it correctly, 19 times. 19 times you have this particular fool in Proverbs. That's number two, the second page. Everybody see that? Now turn to the third page. This is, you see it here, this is the lace fool. And again, I have it transliterated into English, L-E-S. This is the lace fool. And if I counted it correctly, 14 times in Proverbs we read of this fool. 14 times. And I tried to highlight all of the references in Proverbs to this fool. Now look at the last one. This is page number four. This is the petty fool. And I have it again transliterated here in English. And if I counted it correctly, 14 times. 14 times. I've got it highlighted so you can count it as well. But those are the references for the kesil, the avil, the lace, the peti fool, as you read about these fools in the book of Proverbs. Now, these are the references, the citations, the passages, and these are all of them in the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, is a great study. So if I want to talk about these particular fools, I've got all of the references that I can put together and I can move into my second part. How are these fools reflected? What are the characteristics of these fools? How do you profile them? And the way you would do that, of course, would be I would look at the kesil fool and I'd look up all 49 references to this kesil fool in the book of Proverbs, and I would come up with a profile that helps me to understand this particular kind of individual. Everybody with me? So if I'm thinking about this one, and if you notice what the concordance says about it, it'll just say concerning the kesil, stupid. Just has right next to it, stupid. Kesil, stupid. Now, if I think of this particular kind of fool, the kesil fool, I'm thinking of someone who is dull and obstinate, stupid. He has chosen a particular outlook on life. And if I talk about this person's trouble, it's not mental, it's not intellectual, it's spiritual. This person absolutely hates knowledge. If I'm reading through Proverbs, and I'm reading chapter 1 and verse 22, at the very end of the verse, it'll say, fools hate knowledge. That's the kesil fool. He hates knowledge. He has no reverence for truth at all, which Proverbs will emphasize. When you talk about this kesil fool, listen to what we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The folly of fools is deceit. He hates knowledge. He has no reverence for truth. He doesn't delight in understanding at all. If I'm thinking about this particular man, listen to 18:2, Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding. So this kind of fool hates knowledge. He doesn't reverence truth. He doesn't delight in understanding. And his sport is always to do mischief. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10 and listen to verse 23. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. That is the kesil fool. His heart proclaims foolishness. When you come in contact with him, that's what he says. So if I'm reading Proverbs chapter 12 and I'm reading verse 23, the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. This is the Kasil fool. His mouth, he will say, pours it forth. Listen to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2. The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. And then Proverbs 15, 14 will say he feeds upon it. The mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. So his mouth pours it forth. He feeds upon it. Proverbs 15, 2, 15, 14. He's a menace. You come in contact with him, he's going to waste your time. If he has any idea within his head, nothing's going to stop him. Proverbs chapter 17, here's the Kasil fool. It is, listen to Proverbs 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her cubs meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. That's a Kasil fool. So if he has something in his head, you can just forget it. Nothing's going to stop him. But what's so tragic about it, there are those who are not able to disown this kind of fool. And that's a tragedy. His father and his mother. They can't disown him. So he brings to them sorrow. He brings to them bitterness. He brings to them calamity. And yet he utterly despises them. That's what Proverbs says. He brings to the parent sorrow, Proverbs 10:1, Proverbs 17:21. He brings bitterness, 17:25. He brings calamity, 19:13. And yet, he has the audacity to despise them. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20, a foolish man despises his mother. Now, when you think of this particular fool, let me just give us a little taste of this individual, this Kasil fool. Turn with me to Proverbs 19 and notice the words that are used here to describe this particular individual. This is Proverbs 19. And look at verse 1. Better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now, every reference that I'm going to read is a Kasil fool. Verse 10. Delight is not fitting for a fool. Verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. Then verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of, there it is, fools. The Kasil fool. Now turn with me to Proverbs 26 and look at all of the reference of this Kasil fool in Proverbs 26. And look at the way he's described. Verse 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a, there he is, fool. Verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. There he is. Verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. Look now. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit, which is very interesting when you read verses 4 and 5. Seems contradictory, but it really isn't. If you really think about what he's saying. But when you read a fool in verses 4 and 5, it's the word that we're talking about. Verse 6, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. Verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable the mouth of a fool. Verse 8, as he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. Verse 9, as a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 10, the great God that formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards the transgressors. Verse 11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. And then verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And all of these references that I read that has to do with the fool is a kassil fool. Now let me read one more. If you look at chapter 28, look at verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's a kassil fool. He's stupid. He's stubborn. He's dull. That's a kassil fool. So when I read through Proverbs some 49 times, I can profile this kassil fool. I read all of these statements concerning this man, and I can come up with various characteristics that describe him. This is the kassil fool. Now look at the second one. The avil or the awil fool. This is the second page. And this fool is mentioned 19 times. And if you look at the way the concordance reads, it'll just simply say, concerning the avil, foolish, helpless. And then you have the various references for this man. Now let's think about the characteristics of this kind of fool. He's stupid. He's stupid. He's stubborn. He despises wisdom and discipline. This is the one that we read about in Proverbs 1:7. He despises wisdom and discipline either from a teacher, or he despises the wisdom and discipline that comes from his father. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. So not only to despise it, what we read in Proverbs 1:7, when you have the fear of the Lord, and over against that, you have this fool and how he disdains wisdom and discipline. This is this fool. And whether you're talking about someone who's trying to impart it or his own father, he despises it. He will tell us in Proverbs 24, verse 7, wisdom is too high. It's too high for him. This is the individual who's mocking at sin. He has this flippant outlook when it comes to evil. This is what he does. Proverbs 14, 9 says, fools make a mock at sin. And that's this fool. He's quarrelsome. You come in contact with him. Proverbs 20, verse 3. He's licentious, Proverbs 7:22. It is utterly useless to try to talk to him, to try to instruct him. He's not going to listen. That's Proverbs 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. That's his fool. So you read about him in 16:22. Let me read a couple more statements about him. Listen to Proverbs 27, and listen to verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Proverbs 27:22. Or listen to Proverbs 29, verse 9. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. So it's useless trying to instruct him unless you do it very early. You have to do it very early. Proverbs 22 says this in verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And that's this word. This is an individual who always thinks he's right. Listen to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So when you come in contact with him, he is doing what's right. He's going to argue with it, and he doesn't understand. There's a little statement mentioned twice in Proverbs. You remember this? There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, 12, and that is repeated for a second time. In Proverbs 16, listen to verse 20, Proverbs 16, verse 25.
There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So this is an individual who thinks he's right, but the end, of course, is absolute disaster. His speech will give him away. His anger will give him away. He will disappoint his parents. And he's someone who absolutely lacks wisdom. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. The fool dies for want of wisdom. This is the evil fool. So I think about this second fool, and I can look up all of the references, and I can have a little profile of this particular fool as set forth in the book of Proverbs. Now let's go to the third one. The third one is the lace fool or the less fool. And if you look at it, it'll say, this is the third page, scorner, scoffer. And then you have the references, all the references to this particular fool in the book of Proverbs. Now, when I talk about this individual, again, the problem is not mental. It's not mental capacity or mental ability. These people may be academic and very intellectual. So it's not the mental ability, it is the mental attitude. And this individual is proud and haughty. He delights in scorning. He is absolutely incapable of discipline. He's incapable of being reproved. He's not going to accept any rebuke. He's not going to listen. Now let me just point it out. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Here is this individual. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 7. He that reproves a, here is our man, scoffer, gets to himself shame. Now look, here it is in verse 8. Reprove not a scoffer. Why? Lest he hate you. He is incapable of discipline. He is not going to listen to any kind of reproof. Well, listen to another statement about this man. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer hears not rebuke. He's incapable of discipline. He's not going to be reproved. He's not going to be rebuked. He cannot find wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 14, verse 6. A scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not. So he cannot find it. And when you come in contact with this individual, he's detestable. He's an abomination. Listen to Proverbs chapter 24. And listen to verse 9. The scorner is an abomination to men. This is someone that should be avoided. This is the Psalm 1:1. When you read of the ungodly and the sinner and the scoffer, that's this word. That's the same word. So if you look at the references here for the scoffer, I have all the references in Proverbs, but I've also underscored Psalm 1:1. He's also there in Psalm 1:1. That's the scoffer. And when I read it there in Psalm 1, I'm told various things about it. Now, you know what's interesting about this? Proverbs says that this person ought to be punished. And he ought to be punished for the benefit of our last fool, the petty fool. Which I find interesting when you think about it, because when I think of this particular individual, this third fool that we read about, Proverbs makes this point. And let me point it out, because it's mentioned twice in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 19 and look at verse 25. Smite a scorner. And the simple
will learn. Reprove one that has understanding, he'll understand knowledge. Smite a scoffer, and the simple, that's our fourth little word for the fool, will learn. Now he says it one other time. It says in Proverbs 21. Look at verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. So if this individual is punished, he ought to be punished for the benefit of the simpleton. But when you talk about this individual, Proverbs says in Proverbs 22, verse 10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. So throw him out, banish him. And Proverbs will say, judgment is prepared for him. He is a deliberate troublemaker, and his bad influence is recognized by everyone. That is our third fool, which brings me to our last one. Number four, the petty fool, mentioned 14 times in Proverbs. And this individual is someone, you can see the way the concordance reads, simple, simplex. This is an open-minded individual. He is open-minded. He's easily led. He's gullible. You remember, he'll believe anything that you tell him. So he lacks wisdom. He lacks discipline. He doesn't understand. He's moving towards something that's going to completely destroy him, but he doesn't understand it. You remember, we read those verses last week. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple passes on and are punished. You read that in 22:3. You read that in 27:12. So what is the response? If all of this is true in terms of these fools, and I see the references and I see the reflection in terms of what Proverbs says about them, what's the response? How should we converse with these individuals? You know what's interesting? When you talk about the first, second, and third, it's almost hopeless. There's no point. If they fall into that category, there's really no hope unless the Lord works in various ways. The only one that's really open to even going one way or the other is the simpleton. This one who's open-minded, he is at least open, but he's open to both wisdom and folly. Now, I want you to go back to Proverbs 9. And when you read Proverbs 9, you're reading about wisdom and you're reading about folly. And they're inviting this individual to embrace them. Wisdom on the one hand and folly on the other. Now, look at the way it reads in Proverbs 9, because now you're coming to the end of these homilies that begin in Proverbs 1 and end in Proverbs 9. These are exhortations from a father to a son. But look at the way it ends. This is in Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She, remember, because wisdom, the word is feminine, so the pronoun is feminine. So it's almost as though wisdom is a woman. She's carved out her seven pillars. She has killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple? Here it is now. Who is simple? Let him turn in here. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So she's pleading to come to this banquet and imbibe wisdom. And she's saying this to the simpleton. You read it in verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. But then you come down to verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple. She knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is, here it is now, simple,
Let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are there and there are guests that are in the depths of Sheol. Now, you read this about this foolish woman, but this is folly. So you read about this wisdom pleading to embrace, but now you're reading a folly, pleading for the simple to embrace folly. So here's someone who is open-minded, and wisdom is pleading, but so is folly. And you're not really sure which way the individual is going to go. So you read this in terms of these fools. And when I read this, smite a scorner, and the simple will learn. So when I understand this, the simple need a visual aid to bring the individual to repentance. He needs to see something. You remember what Proverbs says? The way of transgressors is hard. Any individual who refuses to follow the guidelines of Scripture is going to experience major problems. I mean, just think of individuals involved in all kinds of addictions and how they absolutely destroy themselves. Think of individuals who move away from the blueprint in terms of Scripture and they're on a road to complete disaster. So I think of this simpleton. He's aimless. He's inexperienced. Wisdom is crying out. Folly is crying out. And the whole book of Proverbs says, embrace this wisdom and reject this folly. And if the individual does, then that individual is embracing this wisdom, not from below, but this wisdom that comes from above. And he demonstrates it by his trust, not in what a fool trusts in. You know what a fool trusts in? The fool trusts in his money. That's what a fool trusts in. He trusts in what he's done, his portfolio. Listen to Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. If I want security, I want to be in a fortified city, a walled city. And this proverb says, the rich man's wealth is his security. Then I read it again. It's not just there. He says it in 11:28. He that trusts in his riches will fall. So he's trusting in his money. He's trusting in his riches, according to chapter 11 and verse 28. But let me read another one. Proverbs 18, verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and is a high wall in his own conceit. So if you think of a fool will trust in his money. A fool will trust in his own human reason. You remember Proverbs chapter 28? And you remember that statement? Verse 26, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So a fool will trust in his riches and in his reason. But a wise person is someone who will trust in the Lord. And that is emphasized over and over again in Proverbs. Let me give you the references. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Proverbs 3:5. Listen to Proverbs 16:20. Whoso trusts in the Lord, blessed is he. Proverbs 16:20. Listen to Proverbs chapter 22. And listen to verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart into my knowledge, for it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord.
I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Proverbs 22, 17 through 19. In Proverbs chapter 28, listen to verse 25. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And then one more, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 25, whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be secure. And when you read the word trust in Hebrew, which is the word batak, you know what the Hebrew lexicon will say? Batak means to throw oneself down upon his face. So it's almost the thought of it, you're prostrating yourself down upon the Lord. That's the verb. And you know what the noun is? Patek. You know what the noun is? Security. So I'm throwing myself down on the Lord, and that's where my security is. It's not in me. It's not in what I have. It's in Him. And the one who is blessed is the wise person who embraces this wisdom that comes from above, and it's displayed by the way the individual lives, as over against a fool who doesn't do that. And then you think about the different words that are used for a fool in the book of Proverbs. Now turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and notice what Jeremiah says here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabit it. Look at the contrast. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat comes, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So you have one who's cursed, verse 5. You have one that is blessed in verse 7. And it basically depends, is the man trusted in himself or is he trusted in the Lord? And if I'm trusted in the Lord, I'm following His revelation rather than my own finite human reason. Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. It's the foundation of wisdom. I build my life upon that. A fool, by way of contrast, he despises it. He despises wisdom and discipline. So I think about what wisdom literature has to say concerning these two different individuals and two very different ways. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this wisdom literature, not only these books in the Old Testament, but the book of James, and what we can gather from that book concerning wisdom from below as over against wisdom that comes from above. We pray, Father, that we would be known by the way we live as individuals who have skill in practical living and have expertise in understanding the Scriptures and living in light of the Scriptures. So guide us, Lord, in this whole study, we pray, and help us to flesh out what the Scriptures teach us about being wise. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.